I live to thank you for the price you paid. The price is paid. See Satan flee away. For Jesus crucified destroys his power. No more to pay, let accusation cease. In Christ there is no condemnation now. The price is paid, hallelujah. Amazing grace, so strong and sure. And so with all my heart, my life in every part, I live to thank. The price is paid, and by that scourging cruel, he took our sicknesses as if his own. And by his wounds, his body broken there, his healing touch may now by faith be known. The price is paid, hallelujah, amazing grace. So strong and sure, and so with all my heart, my life in every part, I live to thank you for the price you paid. The price is paid, worthy the Lamb we cry. Eternity shall never cease his praise. The Church of Christ shall rule upon the earth. In Jesus' name we have authority. The price is paid, hallelujah. Amazing grace, so strong and sure. And so with all
well, good morning everyone, Pastor David here, and it's the first Sunday in the month of May. We're glad to be together again to bring our praise and our thanks to God. So let's do that now, right at the start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great salvation. We thank you that our Lord Jesus has paid the full price for our redemption. And as we gather now, we want to echo the words that have just been sung, that with all our hearts and our lives in every part, we seek to live to thank you for the price you paid. Amen. So now, if you would like to turn in your Bibles to final chapter in John's Gospel, John chapter 21. I just want to read to you the closing verses from verse 15. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. I want us to have a quick look at those verses this morning under the title of Eating Out. Coronavirus has meant that for most of us, eating out has stopped. And this virus has asked the world and put some pointed questions. Like, so what's the most important thing that has happened? What's going to be the most important thing to happen in the future? And what's the most important thing that we should be doing now? And the answer that the media and the government give us is that coronavirus is the most important thing that has happened in this world and to this world. A vaccine and medication that will free us from the pandemic is the most important thing for the future. And the most important thing we can do now is to follow the rules and stay safe, avoid getting or spreading the virus, because it's a matter of life and death. And those, of course, are important things, but they are not the most important thing. The media, the government never mention the most important thing, but the verses from John's Gospel tell us what the most important thing is. So the verse that I read to you there, verse 15, is amazing, for the man speaking to Peter is the man who just a few days before had been killed by Roman soldiers on a cross. And then he had been buried in a tomb that was sealed. But here he is, very much alive. And here is the most important thing that has ever happened in this world. Jesus Christ is alive from dead. Jesus Christ, the God-man, has beaten, has conquered humanity's greatest enemy, death, and lives never to die again. And this is not a fairy story. Jesus appeared to hundreds of people, so no one could doubt the fact that he is alive. And what we read is just one of those occasions when lots of people saw him, met him, touched him, spoke to him, and he to them. So this is the most important thing that has ever happened. Jesus has conquered humanity's unbeatable greatest enemy, death, and is alive today. The most important thing to happen in the future is that this living Lord Jesus will come back to this earth again. And he tells Peter about this in verse 22. Let me just take up my Bible and let me just read this to remind us of it again. Verse 22, Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Jesus will shortly return to his Father in heaven, but one day he promises to return to this earth, and that's when this old broken world, full of sin, full of sickness and death and sorrow, will end, and God's newly created perfect world, where all those bad and evil things that fill earth now, will be gone forever. And the Bible tells us that all those who belong to Jesus, we call them Christians, true Christians, all of those will be there in this paradise world with Jesus forever. But that all those who have rejected Jesus' salvation, lived for themselves, won't be there. And so the third question, what should we be doing now? Well, it's just so clear and simple. We should be making sure that we belong to Jesus. So the big, big issue that Jesus keeps on about in these verses is to make sure that you belong to Jesus now. And to make sure that you're feeding on the right food. That's what Jesus repeatedly tells Peter. Feed, feed, feed my sheep. Food for those who belong to Jesus. Are these just two foods in the world? The earthly food, so attractive, so draws us to it, with its fun and pleasure, money and success and so on. Earthly food. And then there is spiritual food. And Jesus' priority between his resurrection and his second return is the feeding of his sheep, his people. And that's who we are if we're true Christians. We're needy people who'll die without that spiritual food that Jesus provides. And in these verses we're being told where to find that food that will save us and keep us alive. So, what is this food Jesus is speaking about and that we so desperately need? And who are Jesus' sheep? Well, in earlier chapters, in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I lay my life down for my sheep." So the sheep are the people for whom Jesus dies. And he then goes on to say, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish." So Jesus' people receive eternal life and avoid perishing by listening to Jesus' voice, the words he speaks. And his word is the food we desperately need. So where are Jesus' words found now? And the answer, of course, is in the Gospel, in the New Testament. And they're foretold in the Old Testament. So we read and study and teach and preach the Bible. Jesus' promise to his disciples was that he would send to them God, the Holy Spirit, who would bring to their minds, the apostles' minds, all Jesus' words so that they could record them and write them down. And in chapter 20, we remember Jesus sending his disciples out. He sent out the disciples to declare, to spread the gospel of grace and forgiveness so that everyone who believes and trusts the message and comes to Jesus in repentance for his forgiveness, for the forgiveness of their sins, becomes one of Jesus' sheep. Everyone who doesn't trust, everyone who won't come in repentance and rejects the message, are not included in Jesus' sheep. They're not a part of Jesus' family and are lost. It's life with Jesus or death in eternal separation and torment. It's life or death. All of us, because of sin, are under a death sentence. Physical death, of course, and then eternal death. The horror of separation from the love and blessing of God, the torment of hell forever. But Jesus took our place. He took the wage of sin for us, and now we can have life. And that life comes through Jesus' word. But you say, surely there must be more than that. There must be more to it than just centering on Jesus' words. And, you know, I can recall on a number of occasions during my 17 years as pastor of Church on the Green, various people pointing out to me that we have always been a small fellowship. At the moment, when everyone comes, when everyone's there, we have around 35 people. And folk explain to me why they think that that is. You see, other churches have hundreds. And the reason we don't, they say, is because of this focus that we have on preaching and teaching God's word, because that's a thing of the past. No one comes to church today to sit and listen to the Bible being preached for half an hour. You see, what today's church is all about is worship, is fellowshipping. So what you need is a worship leader and a band. And of course, when people say what we need is worship, what they're saying is that we need more singing. I always relate worship with singing. And we should have far more praise times. The church should be more like a party atmosphere. Fellowship is a social thing. It's chatty now. That's what church is. That's why people go to church. Well, let me just say that, of course, I'm not against singing. It's one of the things I've missed most of all, not being able to be with you all to sing. I'm not against singing and clapping and praising. But, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to me. You see, no one can be or will be saved from perishing by having a good sing. Only the words of life, Jesus' word, and Jesus says that his word preached and witnessed and spread will not fail. It will reach across the world to every tribe and nation, and people will be saved and will become Christians. It's a matter of life or eternal death. It will succeed because it is Jesus' work and word. Oh yes, we've only got about 35 people, but Jesus only had about a dozen or a couple of dozen when he left this earth. But it will succeed because it's Jesus' word. The disciples here in this chapter fishing on their own caught absolutely nothing. But then at a word from Jesus, the net suddenly is full. It's nothing of them. It's all of Jesus. And spiritual feeding depends not on our ability. It depends on the miraculous power of Jesus' word to bring life out of death. And this is not some religious theory. Oh, no, it's proved to be true. From the year 40 AD to the year 340 AD, Rome and its empire tried everything in its great power to crush, to eliminate the spread of Jesus' word. But they failed, because in that 300 years, we're told that 35 million people had become Christians. Almost 60% of the people in the Roman Empire had turned to follow Jesus. Jesus' word is powerful. It cannot fail. And today there are millions and millions and millions of Christians all around the world. And just as the net filled with fish at Jesus' word, so the gospel net will fill by the power of Jesus' word. That's why we preach it. That's why we believe it. That's why we make it our focus. That's why we follow it. That's why we seek to spread it. So the most important thing that ever happened is Jesus dying on the cross to pay the price for guilty sinners. And the most important thing that will happen is the return of Jesus to judge the world and to bring his people into the new creation that he's right now preparing for them. And the most important thing we can do now is to make sure we get the life-giving food of Jesus' word that guarantees our place with him forever, and to spread that gospel food to others. I hesitate just to say this because I'm not looking for pats on the back in any way at all. But one of the most encouraging and exciting things in this lockdown for Pauline and me has been the opportunity, whilst I was forced to shield and given an NHS number and the Tesco slot and Morrison's slot every week, and also other things that were delivered to us, has been able to give a gift to every delivery driver. We've christened it the three P's, three letter P's. A Church on the Green pen, a pound coin, and a pamphlet. I couldn't call it a tract. It didn't fit the three P's. And the fourth one, of course, is prayer. And we've given out over 200 of these to people. God's word going out in his grace to rescue some from perishing. There are dozens of ways, and I'm sure you will have a way that you use to share Jesus' wonderful love. And so, as we close now, we count our blessings over this past year, and thank God for the good news that we have to share and to value.